It's a pleasure. Ireland is a beautiful, beautiful place. Just before we go any further, we're talking about litter. It's not only here in Belfast that we have filth and dirt. I see it in Donegal as well. Some of the most beautiful places. People just throw their rubbish wherever they feel that it will land. How much of a disadvantage to the beautiful island of Ireland is littering?
Well, look, I think we all know that, you know, that the beauty of the landscape is a key thing that attracts people to come here from overseas, which helps us create jobs and maintain our towns and villages. And I think the towns that succeed most in tourism are the ones that do tackle the litter issue. We have in the Republic of Ireland a thing called the Tidy Towns competition, and it's been fantastic to see these beautiful places like Westport, Killarney, and beautiful towns in Northern Ireland as well that look after their place so well. So I think it's incumbent on everybody in the community to play their part, because there's nothing worse, you know yourself, when you go on holidays and you see litter in a town. It does show, you know, a bad side of tourism. But look, by and large, I think there are a lot of good people out there that you know, are intent on trying to improve things.
Totally.
And support that fully.
Totally. And, you know, one that springs to mind is Keep Northern Ireland Beautiful, which is an initiative that has to be promoted, endorsed and encouraged, because the people behind that are doing their very best to keep this part of the world glistening. I just wish that those of us who throw litter or who dump sofas into hedges would turn up the volume on the advice and think how easy it is to take it to some form of council amenity, and a very welcoming guy or girl there will put it in a skip for you. There are many pluses and positives, however, with this analysis of tourism at the moment.
There are indeed, yeah. We had a very good year in 2015. We've seen visitor numbers increasing in Northern Ireland. 1.9 million people from overseas spent over £450 million supporting an awful lot of jobs. And the prognosis is pretty good as well as we head into 2016. We've got a lot of good things to shout about. I'm not quite sure if you've got to manage to visit the Govan's Cliff Path yet, a fantastic new attraction which is featuring in our advertising campaigns in Germany and France at the moment to in excess of 30 million people.
And, yeah, I'm just wondering, did they get it repaired? Because it took a hammering there in either Storm Desmond or Storm Frank.
We're on Storm Henry at the moment, so I'm not quite sure, but I hope so. But I mean, we're in the quiet period of the year at the moment. The key thing is that it's ready for the summer season. And I think in terms of inspirational visitor attractions, this is one that really hits the button for visitors in our overseas markets, and I've been abroad quite a bit over the last number of months, and in European markets particularly, this is one that they're talking about. It plays into all the right spaces, a dramatic, you know, coastal landscape, a dramatic scenery, and I think it's something that's going to do really, really well. The Giant's Causeway, won the top prize at the British Tourism Awards back in December, which again, it's always great to get a gong at something, and they've done a super job in the National Trust and in the Giant's Causeway in excess of 700,000 visitors last year, so long may it last. And Titanic, of course, continues to blaze a trail. 2.5 million visitors since it opened in 2012, and it continues to be a major icon for us overseas.
This idea of the cruise ships not being able to come up to the harbour dock beside Titanic, they're going to be docking somewhere back closer to IKEA, which is further down the lock. Is that a disadvantage just to Titanic? Or is that a disadvantage to Belfast? I think how many cruise ships we're going to have next year? I think it's 80 or something like that.
Oh, I think it'll probably top 100. And I think that's an area in global tourism which is increasing all the time. I mean, look, the main thing is that they can dock and they have the capacity to get off and enjoy the experience of the city. Cruise tourism is really, really important, and it's a growing part of what's happening in Belfast. In addition to the Waterfront Hall, by the way, which is going to be opening in a number of months' time, we had a number of journalists over for a show round last week, and they're hugely impressed. There's a lot of conference business working very closely with Visit Belfast and Tourism Northern Ireland that has been booked in already. And people who come for business tourism, by the way, spend about four times that of a leisure tourist, and they tend to bring their partner or spouse as well for a weekend break. So a lot of really good things happening at the moment, you know. So I think the cruise business, though, is certainly one part of global tourism that is really on the increase, and very important from a retail perspective because they do spend on the shops.
How important is our zoo to us, Niall? There was a guy on this morning and we were talking about effectiveness and cost-cutting at council. And this was a gentleman who's leading an initiative for animal safety and animal welfare. And he would, at the drop of a hat, he would close the zoo. How important is a successful zoo in a city?
Look, I mean, it's about having things to see and do. I mean, that's what the visitor is looking for. You know, if they're going to come to Belfast or going to come to Northern Ireland or to Ireland, how am I going to fill my time when I'm there for 2, 3, 4 days? So it's great to have a variety of different attractions. The zoos are very important from a family perspective. I'm not quite sure what the numbers are in Belfast Zoo at the moment. I know in Dublin Zoo it attracts about 1 million people a year, so zoos still have a place to part, a place to play, particularly in terms of bringing kids out for a day, and it's very important from a local perspective as well.
And who's our greatest ambassador at the moment? Is it still Rory?
Oh, we have lots of great ambassadors out there, but I always think on the golf scene we underestimate how much we punch above our weight. When you think that Golf Digest, which is the biggest publication in the golf space in the United States, said that Royal County, or their reader said that Royal County Down was the top golf course in the world, I think it's an amazing accolade. And Royal Port Rush came in at number 27, and the island of Ireland had 4 golf courses in the top 65 in the world. It's incredible. Rory McIlroy and all the golfers indeed do a great job for us. They have a huge following on social media. They say all the right things. They portray exactly the type of image that we want to talk about in the context of Northern Ireland and Ireland. And we just had a big stand at the PGA golf show in Orlando last week, and it was amazing the number of Americans that came around to the participants on the stand, and we had a good showing from Northern Ireland there, and they were all commenting on the fact that Royal County Down was number one in the world, and that's where the Irish Open was held last year, and it was the most successful Irish Open ever.
Yeah, there's so many pluses. See, Rory's back to number two in the world. He had been further down the rankings, only Jordan Spieth the man ahead of him as we speak, so that's good. And the golf tourism is of course such a big seller for this part of the world. But people coming from overseas, would they not be tending to go to the Republic with the euro at 77p as opposed to coming north?
Well, exchange rates are only one factor, and you have to remember that the industry does tend to price to the market. So exchange rates, you know, for example, in mainland GB and also in North America aren't having really that much of an impact. Obviously, from the Eurozone countries, it's a little bit different. But you have to remember that, you know, an awful lot of the air access does come into Dublin, you know, when you look across this island. We'd like to see more direct air routes coming into Northern Ireland. And last year, we had a very good, successful working relationship with both airports in Belfast. We saw new routes coming in from Barcelona, from Italy, from KLM and Amsterdam, and it's about, you know, joint marketing campaigns. We're working with those airports and airlines to drive additional air access. We had 10% more seats into Northern Ireland last summer, 13% over the course of this winter, and we're great to see Ryanair coming back as well into an international airport. They can drive big numbers too. But it's also about, you know, in addition to the direct air access, encouraging tour operators that might have only programmed the Republic of Ireland more to put Northern Ireland into their itinerary. And last year we saw a 10% increase in the number of tour operators, international tour operators, who offer overnights in Northern Ireland, putting Northern Ireland on the agenda. So there are now 775 tour operators that now program Northern Ireland as well as the Republic, and we hope to see that increase to nearly 900 by the end of 2016.
And where do you stand on airport passenger duty? Does that encourage people to leave this part of the world, therefore you're happy enough with it, or would you like to see it cut here in Northern Ireland?
Well, look, I mean, it's a matter for the political establishment to decide, you know, what they tax and what they spend. By and large, from a tourism perspective, you know, when we can do things to increase competitiveness, it's generally a good thing. We saw the benefit of the abolition of the air travel tax in the Republic of Ireland, where there's been a significant increase in the number of seats from all our main markets after the travel tax was abolished and the VAT was reduced from 13.5% to 9%. It's also about keeping the foot on the pedal and making sure we've got sufficient marketing funds to tell people about all the wonderful things there are to see and do. And I always quote as well the success that we've seen with Game of Thrones, which is something that we never had 5 years ago, but now working with HBO and having a license for them to use their logos for free in our campaigns, we've seen 100 million people join in the conversation about Northern Ireland. They have a significant social media following, and now we have 20,000 people coming just to visit Game of Thrones attractions here. So it's about the direct air access, it's about the taxation, but it's also about having the great marketing story to tell all the great things that there are to see and do here in the province.
Did you know that we lost 3 of the trees from the dark hedges?
Well, I saw that, all right, but don't worry. I mean, on the international stage, you know, that's not the story that tends to get out there. You know, the 100 million people that are engaging with us on social media about Game of Thrones are really dying to come here to experience and see the 14 or 15 different locations about where it's shot. But it does go to show, you know, sustainability is important, and it's important that while we may get more visitors, that we protect our environment as well.
Niall, I love the way you can make everything sound positive. No wonder you're the top man. Thanks for speaking to us. Thank you.
Thank you, Brian. Good to see you.
That's Niall Gibbons there.